Good morning, good noon, good evening, wherever time and place you're listening to us from, straight from the 909. It's Mark, Andre, myself, Isaiah, and together, that's hip-hop. Today, we're talking about a treacherous duo, blood brothers that are a tandem to be reckoned with in hip-hop.
Yuck.
That is Pusha T and his brother,
No Malice.
No Malice now. Together, known as Clips, we are covering Lord Willin. Released August 20th, 2002 by Star Trek and Arista. This album, the world heard this album. At least a track they for sure
heard. Yeah.
So with this, I mean, this what came about where you chose this for us to cover, cuz Mark recommended this for us to go ahead and do.
Cuz I started pushing weight.
It's the only thing to listen to, you know.
I ended up listening to it a couple of times, like across the years, and I'm like, damn, there's not a lot of shine that comes to the whole album, except for the people out in Virginia that will talk about it a lot. We don't give it enough shine. I don't think anybody's reviewed it even up to this point. It deserves that. Definitely deserves that. The admiration in review form that we're going to do for it, because
they usually refer to Hell Hath No Fury as their classic 13, which is rightfully so, but like, it's not really like, I don't think we go back and hear this whole album through to really realize, you know, the thing that's special about this one is that it has that Virginia beach feel. Yeah. That's what's different about that. I think listening through it, it gave me that bounce. You hear the bounce in a lot of the tracks. Like, you hear a lot of that like relaxed joy that it's very, it's like Virginia's dialect that, you know, you can hear it through the album, which is different from Hell Hath No Fury. And they're both great, but that's, I think, what we get in Lord Willin here. It's more of like a regional album that you can hear.
But one thing about it is it didn't sound like anything.
Yeah.
Nah. Anything. So it's
it
like,
it was new.
Yeah. You know, and where you would get like a New Yorker talking about pushing weight, it's just the sound of it was so foreign to what the whole world of hip hop was listening to. So as I was listening to it again, I was like, wow, how did they get away with these tracks? Some of these songs, I'm like, man, I don't know anybody would like accept it. But when Grinding dropped, I just remember Grinding hit so hard that I definitely bought the album because of the single. That's like one of the situations where the single gets you to buy an album. That's Grinding was so good, I got the album.
Yeah.
And then everything on there, of course, the Neptunes just carried the experience. But everything that these guys were doing were ahead of their time. Both of them. Both of them, to me, when I listen to them both, it's like, no matter what you do, it's like Malice is going to have this like light side to it. And then Pusha T is going to have a dark side to it. And it's not negative that it's dark. It's just that he has a different angle. So I love the idea that they both are basically talking of the same experience, but they have different perspectives.
The best gift that they have together is the chemistry that they have together being brothers. Yeah. But you also have them both sounding almost the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost the same.
Yes. You can tell the Malice just has a little bit more of like, he kind of holds on to some of the ending of the words a bit. He kind of stretches it out more.
Yeah.
Whereas Pusha T, I think
he seems like lounging in a chair rapping.
Yeah. So you can tell, but they complement each other so well. The chemistry is there. Like even when they featured on Jesus is King's album, the chemistry is still there. Like when you hear both of them.
And also on Jesus King, that's full circle, man.
Yeah.
That's like really, that feature is perfect because it's just bringing both sides together after all that shit. So this to me is the beginning for the Clips, of course. And I just think it worked perfectly. I didn't like Hell Hath No Fury. Hell Hath No Fury did not move me.
Did you
like
guys
this
get
one.
Into the, like the beats on the tables or anything?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Grinding beat was like so overutilized. And there are so many people that didn't do the Grinding beat right. They never did it right. Yeah. Like they did.
You
this,
need a third hand to perfect it.
No. Some people would like overdo the snares and shit. Like some shit that you can't, they're not doing it right. But I do remember something about how simple Grinding's beat was that impact. It was like, damn, that beat was so good. I probably heard the song like 50 times before I heard a lyric.
Yeah.
And then I heard the lyrics. But yeah, when I was younger, listening to them, it's interesting. My experience with them is like, I just love the way they said things.
Their style.
Their style was really unique, but I was too young to understand how to move work at all. So a lot of the lyrics kind of flew over my head when I was younger. But recently, you know, listening again, especially this album again, I was like, fuck, there was so much information about the streets.
Yeah. We never found out what the other game that Pee Wee Kirkland was a legend in till a little later.
You know, I was going to say is it's funny because before this dropped, I was already into doing beats on tabletops and all that stuff. I don't know how I found myself doing that. I think my cousin and I have Nick, we got into, he's a drummer for the band at the time. And so he would start to be like, look, Isaiah, So I took that and I was just like, oh, let me do it with two hands.
Double it up.
We did that for about a year, right? Grinding drops. It explodes. Okay. Like everybody, literally everybody in class.
Every table.
I'm like, what the heck? We got a whole freaking half of the class of drummers now.
Yeah.
Every school desk has the right amount of acoustics. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean,
everybody was doing it though. Everybody.
And then not even just on tables. We're talking about on bleachers,
walls,
on people's like, you know, hoods of their car. Like that wasn't even theirs. Like it was everywhere. Like anywhere you can get some bass, boom.
We didn't segregate the surface.
Boom, baby. Trash cans, boom.
Yeah. Bands would play it. School bands would play it.
Man, it was just disgusting how it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere,
man. And then, like I said, a single so infectious that it really like grabbed the attention of everyone.
Yeah.
Come on, man. So after that,
Pharrell knew it too. Pharrell, the introduction was perfect.
But the simplicity.
The world's about to hear something.
But hold on. The idea is simple though, right? Grinding is such a simple instrumental that, like you said, everybody is beating on their tables. And that is the sign of a producer that's using minimalism on a whole nother level. You know, to be a great producer, some cats want to make everything large and more sounds and bigger sounds, right? Mm-hmm. So for them to pull back this far and that shit hit harder, it just works.
You might be able to even deem that as one of the great beats of all time in hip hop.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it would be top 100 of all time beats. Yeah. It would be grinding would definitely be up there. Yeah, definitely.
That would be, I think, in there. What do you think, Mark? Do you think it's up there?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's memorable. If you even subcategorize in the 2000s, you put in any 2000s all time, it's going to be there. It'll be there for sure. The clips as a whole is a beautiful marriage of lyricism and street kingpin stories, being self-aware of the situation that you're in. And
even
like
some conviction I heard, like even some shame, mm-hmm. like feeling shame that they're pushing weight. Like,
and the after effect of making it, like being so successful that, hey, allegedly being able to front the cost of production for this four albums that they've made off of the backs of being allegedly being a street pharmacist.
Right.
Who knows?
I wanted to speak a little bit about Virginia Beach because at the time, I mean, Virginia Beach was just not a place that you would think of when it comes to hip hop, you know, I think at that time, around that time, Timberland and then you got Pharrell, and they were becoming very elite producers at the time. But it still wasn't the same because I feel like you still need an MC who really brings your town, you know, to
that's
the spotlight.
A healthy radius of competition too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Missy Elliott at the time was close because she worked with Timberland. She doesn't live too far away from Virginia Beach.
She produces too though.
Right. And on Super Duper Fly, you know, the thing that throws it off though is right away she has two MCs that start off the album that are New York MCs. So it's not the same thing for Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. So for two cats who are from Virginia Beach messing with Pharrell, who's from Virginia Beach, mm-hmm. like this is a for real, like Virginia
Pharrell.
Beach.
This is a Pharrell album. This album was Pharrell.
Pharrell.
But it's like say we had a producer, Henry Alto, right? And he gets popping, but it's still not the same. And then there's a MC from Rialto now hooked up with them, blew up.
Yeah.
Like that's how it would feel like for Rialto, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling, I don't even know, like, if we can even understand.
Have that home court sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have much here in Rialto for that home court sensation.
But it's obscure to CMCs from
but
Virginia.
We adapt to West Coast LA. So we, at least we have that. You know, they didn't even really have that. It was always Miami. It's always New York, LA.
But let's get to this idea. They're not rapping like any of the coasts. And that's surprising, because when you look at, like, because you would say they're influenced kind of like the New York style, right?
Yeah.
Drug kingpin type shit, right? But they don't write like anybody from that coast. Mm-hmm. They don't have similar storytelling. Like, I wouldn't say they have any moves from Nas and them or anything like that. They kind of have their own way to tell a story. Nas and shit would be like, I went to the Avenue, dude got shot, broke my heart, right? And the clips, they kind of have a different way where it's like, yo, we just living a life. We saw a dude get shot today, but I had to finish working. So the street storytelling is still there, but the manner in which they got their ideas out was different.
Yeah,
Pusha T with the wordplay was dope. You know, he was doing the early form of that wordplay bending shit. And then Malice was doing the same. I just don't understand, like, because Pusha T went on, but Malice is equally matching. So when you're listening to him, it's just listening to the same guy with two different perspectives to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they just sound great. You know, I really like Malice's style after he went Christian, which is funny. After Malice went Christian, it's like when you go back, Malice was the lighter one anyway. Everything you hear lyrically, he's saying in a lighter way.
And you're not surprised it ends up going that route with him.
Right. It fits him perfectly. And then Pusha going his route looks perfect. And then the meeting up with Kanye. Yeah. When Jesus is king. All right. That's the conclusion of the clips.
Yeah. They meet up
at Jesus's house.
Was it Jesus on, when Jesus turned 30, he met up with, John the Baptist.
Pusha the Baptist.
Was it that? Yeah. That's like the same example? Like
John the Nomalis. So
yay, baptize them or something?
I'm trying to find, connect these things, man. Here at That's Hip Hop, we try to.
The Trinity? Or
he baptized them simultaneously at the same time.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing?
Yeah. Double baptism.
What I wanted to say is, even their beginning story I thought was pretty interesting, because I guess they originally debuted an album, but. And they had a single called Funeral, which it sounded good to me, but I guess it flopped commercially. Mm. And so they were dropped from their label. Right. And Neptunes was a part of that. They did the track, the beat, they produced the track, and Neptunes ends up doing their own thing, Star Trek, with another label. And then that's when Pharrell grabs those two guys. Hey, grabs on. Them. Yo,
y'all dope.
Let's do it. Let's run it back.
I mean, Twin Brothers thing is actually really innovative too. I think.
Yeah.
Seeing twin brothers in hip hop was very interesting, especially because, like you said, they both sound similar, but they don't have the same style.
Right.
And I was like, wow, they work perfectly. So from them to be from Virginia, it's like they have this pocket in like a social pocket that nobody can fuck with, because when you listen to them, they don't sound like anything. And then you have Pharrell like completely pushing them in the wrong direction. And I mean that in the best way. Whenever you see Pharrell in the studio, he's always pushing guys like in the wrong direction in a very good way. It's like, I always rap this way. And Pharrell's like, nah, rap this way. Just rap this way for this one part. And they're like, nah, I don't want to do it that way. Just rap this way. Just trust me. Trust me. Just trust me. And then after you hear it on the song, after they fight for like 10 minutes, you know, you hear it and you go, that's my favorite part of the song. So Pharrell, I feel like, may have directed these guys in the right direction, obviously. But just something about this one works for me over Hell Hath No Fury. I don't know. This one to me was just mind blowing. Every minute of it was just something different. Down to the intro alone to me is like, man, you can't beat an intro that interesting, you know, from these unique cats from a spot that we don't know shit about pre-internet, you know? So yeah, man, I loved what they were doing on this one.
This whole album, the phrase comes to mind, valiant effort. And I mean that in the most heroic way for these guys, because not only do you have Grinding, but you have Hot Damn, Ma, I Don't Love Her, When's the Last Time? Dog, this out, half of this, half almost, choice. Yeah, like almost three quarters of this album are legit bangers. You know, a lot of them didn't go to, you know, the one that went the highest was Grinding, but it's still, each one of them still had a valiant effort at the Billboard 200, each one of them. That's what I like about this album too, is that you could play it all the way through And then you don't have to play it for just the singles hype. Like even there's even the intro, there's literally a song named Intro.
And it's crazy. Yeah,
awesome. It starts off.
I thought that was crazy.
I thought that was funny. Before we get into it, let's talk about the cover really quick. On the cover, it has both of them in the car, and it has Jesus in the back seat with the crown.
It's usually Jesus taking the wheel, but I guess he trusts his
Lord is twins. Lord's willing to let them drive on their own, basically. Yeah.
I thought that was fitting, though, because throughout this album, you hear like the conviction, you know, of what they're doing even. So, you know, even though they're pushing weight, you feel that they're not like proud about it, but they're having to do it.
It was more like a is what it is kind of thing.
Yeah. Like I think they basically say like, if we're not doing it, someone else is. So, you know, it's, we're going to be doing it. Or,
A lot of seeds being planted to the phrase, they were a product of their environment and they just made do.
And what's so funny about this is that, you know, Virginia Beach was kind of, their slogan is known as like, lovers or something like that. So it's the irony is there too, as well, because, you know, it's supposed to be like a kind of a touristy, happy go lucky spot.
Wasn't it Virginia's for lovers?
But yet he's saying there's nothing to do out here but to cook, you know? So it's also makes it interesting.
nothing going on. We're all just cooking, man. We're all just putting together some shit.
So, man, I think that's very interesting too, to this, because it speaks to that region and that area where you think one thing from being an outsider, but you realize, no, what's really going on here. There's not a lot of opportunities out here other than, you know, maybe military or something, or to be pushing weight. You know, so you get that inside look at what's going on around that area.
Yeah, too. Confirmed it's Virginia's for lovers. I was just like, that came to mind.
All right, so let's talk about our three episodes that we're going to be...
Episodes three. Songs.
Episodes, but three songs. We're doing a back-to-back tonight. But because of Labor Day weekend, you know, we want to be sure we have an episode for you guys. But we're going to be, one of us at least is going to be traveling. And then the Andre and myself is going to be, probably doing.
You guys are going to be in the overhead compartment. You guys.
Yeah. So we're doing a back to back tonight, guys. But we're doing three tracks. Top three that we chose.
Top three was Intro, Grindin'. And I think we're just going to go with Gangsta Lean for the third one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gangsta Lean needs to get, I want to dissect Gangsta Lean.
I've been singing this shit for like the whole week. I can't stop singing the song.
All right. So let's get into it. We're going to go into the intro. The intro track, I think, starts this off beautifully, It gives you that full sound that you're getting the full picture of, like, you know, they're starting off talking about pushing weight.
And that amazing sun. I'm amazing, son.
Out in Panama, and that amazing sun.
I'm amazing, son.
Just wonder where my grace is from.
Ooh, amazing grace.
Amazing. Ooh. And the sun itself.
I speak with corrupted tongue.
After an amazing grace line.
And I love that because with the corrupted tongue, you have, like I was saying, that conviction.
I recognize the underworld since I was young. After he did the so there's a lot of, light, dark, left hand, right hand shit. And Pusha T and Malice are left hand, right hand. So it's like everything they did was really symbolic, right? Pusha had the long hair. Malice had the short hair, right? They lyrically do the same shit, man. And I love how they do it. So yeah, after the Amazing Sun, the Amazing Sun went to the corrupted underground bars, which was crazy. And then after that, back in 84, when I saw Crockett and Tubbs in the Law, as Law, these eyes got big when they televised that Raw. My mama should have seen it come in, me running up and down the stairs too quick, humming Miami Vice theme music. So to me, it's like, you know, the whole idea that he would have a partner probably going undercover to move some Raw, right? And I thought them going undercover would be them being in the rap game and rapping the way they're rapping right now. So, but either way it goes, symbolically, they're just saying no matter what, there was going to be work to do. So Miami Vice is notoriously known for that. So I feel like every little bit of this shit, man, when I was young, I just heard cool words. But as I got older and catching all these lyrical moments, man, they did so much shit. It's incredible, man. But yeah.
Calderon made me colder. I see the villain's impact now that I'm older. So it's a good treat for the people that like Miami Vice. Calderon in the pilot episode is the setup villain for the whole first season. Calderon escapes in the first pilot episode, gets off by plane, of course. Of course, in Miami. It's one of those planes that stay on shore of this, like on buoy.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, and then at the end, Tubbs and Crockett are looking like, shit, God damn it. And so Calderon, he says in the lyrics that they got, it says, Calderon made him colder. I see the villain's impact now that I'm older. So little Easter egg to people that like Miami Vice, but also people that understand that the villain's impact, you end up learning the hero's journey is always going to be as impactful as the villain is. Batman, the Joker, you know, your, what is it? You have your Lex Luthor to your Superman. You have to have somebody on the equal plane or even more for it to look like when the hero best them, it's all because of, damn, he really pulled it off. So
I see the villain's impact now that I'm older. Ignorant fool views ignorant too. Got a lot of money, keep militant tools. So he's still talking about himself, but he's also paralleling himself to the villain. So it's like, how many bars can this man put together so quickly? I really feel like when they were writing, they don't write with the formula from other people. So a lot of this shit comes together very naturally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, very organic.
Yeah, it's very organic, man.
Yeah, they don't want to. This is the feeling of a rapper that never wants to stop his pen.
Yeah. Especially once he mentions Miami Vice, because I feel like if you're a kid growing up and you're watching the show, you know, I feel like he feels very comfortable talking about that, or at least using it as a metaphor even. And the way he's talking about or relating to it, it shows you how impactful things can be as early, you know, in your early adolescence, how even shows, music, you know, your the way you were raised, how all of it, you know, nurture, nature versus nurture, how that all impacts you as you grow up and you start getting into the real scene.
So I gravitated, related to life's cruise, the meaning, Pusha T's more than he's seeming. Not just a rap name, more so a damn shame, right? So it's like, I feel like Pusha T is saying that he's representing himself, you know, even being a damn shame for who he is, right? Because your name tells people who you are, right?
Yeah. Keeping
his
the
name,
honor.
His name is Pusha T, right? Yeah. So it's like a shameful name because his name is literally Pusha, right? Dealer, if for other people, drug dealer.
Right.
Drug dealer T.
Pusha. Right?
So yeah,
nothing's changed. Just the crimes is less heinous. The three of us know, yet the shooter remains nameless.
Street shit, you know, no snitching.
And I like that because you think back at the cover, you have himself, Malice, and then you have Jesus. When he says the three of us, you ask yourself, who's the three of us? There's only two of you guys, you know. And I kind of think it's only us two and the Lord is going to know. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
like
even going back to the front cover of the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like mean, that. You can even relate to that.
And even when he said,
shit. Wait, I'm sorry. The three of us know, yet the shooter remains nameless, and I don't even watch my back. So if he was referencing the cover, that'd be pretty fire.
That's crazy.
That's cool.
And even shooter could be like a druggie, you know, shooting up.
I like that. I like that. That's dope.
I was raw before rap.
That's dope.
And I lost my past. Yes, Harry, I could lose myself in a flash.
Niggas that's think I'm Jim Carrey, right, how I off that mask.
I like that Jim Carrey bar, though.
Oh, man, his punch style, I really wasn't catching until later, man.
Yeah.
That's really fun, though, when you come back and go, damn, all these word plays and bends, man.
Little Rakim Easter egg as I go along in this verse. I even went by the book at first until I realized 9 to 5 wouldn't quench my thirst.
All right, wait. Okay, so wait. Yep. Here's what I'm talking about with Malice, though, right?
We covered that.
This because Malice is the Christian, right?
Right.
So I even went by the book at first.
The book.
I thought it was like him being biblical, right?
A good book.
Yeah. So I even went by the book at first. That's until true. I realized 9 to 5 wouldn't quench my thirst. So of course,
in chapter 9, verse 5.
Yes.
Watch that hip hop dissect Malice's conversion through his one verse and intro.
quench his thirst. Remember, I was thirsty, but
thirst for Christ. But yeah, I got it, man. So yeah, every time I listen to Malice, in the back of my head, I just
and also start a mission. Light.
Yes,
mission connects. With
I
it
felt too. Like light come from his bars. So yeah, start my mission, leave my residence. Mama knew that a child like me had better sense, but something had to give. That's real. I had to live. I chef that soft white and pump from her crib. Right. So it's like they're saying the same story. They're literally saying the same story. It's just both sides of the fence, man. It's beautiful.
A little different. You know, it's interesting.
He chefed that soft white.
Malice comes back and basically calls himself out here because he said that they were pushing weight. They didn't really need to in order to survive. They were doing beyond their means, but on top of that, they were pushing weight. So he now, when you look back at these lyrics, could kind of see there's even some hypocrisy here.
Yeah, but,
you know, it's not taken away from any of it. It's just that that's what it is. That's the game. That's just how it's set up, you know?
Mm-hmm. But here's what I'm feeling. Like when you listen to Malice's shit, it's like, I don't know. I get more depth out of Malice in another way. It's mm-hmm. like, how can you subliminally write white? Like when I say white, I mean like pure, right? Yeah, so all of his stuff seems like he had a good conscience about what he was doing. He just didn't want to do it.
Right.
And Pusha says, fuck it. We out here. Right. I'm going to just do it. I don't care.
If it's not us, it's somebody else.
Yeah. Right, right. Exactly. That's why Push is talking about the villain, right?
Yeah. Right.
And we got this. He's saying right here, look, Scout's honor started with my grandma. So look, he's the good kid. He's the good boy. So I love that shit. This is my favorite part about them. They really are black and white. It's awesome. So Scout's honor started with my grandmama who distributed. Yay, she had flown in from Bahamas. Partner, please. I grinds. I hustle with ease. Can damn near eyeball any weight in my sleep. Because just look at it.
Yeah, by this point, you just see it.
Okay. I don't entertain hate surrounding the street. If I was you, I'd be trying to get down with me.
He's the bright one. But no, see, these niggas know too much. Meanwhile, I rock jewels that look like my diamonds blush.
Like a ruby or something.
Yeah, that shit is nice, man. Cats act if I rap fell in my lap. Cats act as if rap fell in my lap. I've suffered heartbreak many times back to back. So heart back to back. I feel like everything. He got lap, heartbreak, back to back. He's got all kinds of connections, man. And still feel belittled sitting here spitting riddles amongst clown ass rappers who tend to give me giggles. They sound perfect, man. Let them take it however they want to take it. I'm the reason your favorite MC's no longer your favorite. Hey, I'm one of the greats. I can't lie. I mean, great to the point I'm concerned I might die. That's a good line, man. That's a great line, man. He's like, I'm so good, I'm afraid I'm gonna die, man. Make no mistake, Malice is who you tune to. It's all in the name. Trust, I will wound you. Whoa. Now, in a copy of the album I had, my homeboy, this was the treasure trove of albums he had sent me, right? Lord Willin didn't have a cover, and he wrote the title wrong. He wrote Lord Wildin. So I thought the album was called Lord Wildin. So Lord Wildin, right? And I didn't see the cover yet. So when I'm listening to it, for some reason, at the end of the song, he says, make no mistake, Malice is who you tune to. It's all in the name. Trust, I will. And the song just cuts. So that's the version I had. I don't know if you guys know about that. So whatever version I had, he doesn't say wound you. It's gone.
And then even if you get caught with the album, be like, no, it's a Kirk Franklin's album. It's Lord Willin. Mm-hmm. Lord's Willin. That's funny. Like, no, mama.
No, you can really
don't
pull
play
it, out
it
too,
but it's.
That's Jesus right there.
Yeah, look at him.
Jesus right there.
Jesus in that Bel Air just chilling.
All right, so our next one we have Grinding. Of course, I mean, Grinding is really, I mean, that's how we all got here. So we have to address Grinding. We have to. I mean, we already spoke on just the infectious production of it all, but I mean, lyrically, everything about this is this feels like an introduction song more than intro. This feels like an introduction song. For as many times as I heard this shit, from ghetto to backyard to yard, right? I sell it whipped or unwhipped, it's soft or hard. You know how long it took to even learn that shit? I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. So when I heard Grinding, imagine no context of drug sales at all.
Make it sound like he works at Dairy Queen.
No, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like anything. No, for real, it sounds like anything, bro. If you have no idea that they're talking about drugs, they just sound like anything. Right. I pump bass like that, Jack. On or off the track. Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I love it, man. I love it. So as I got older, you know, this song kept growing on me. So I love this one, man. This one's one of my favorites.
Call me subwoofer because I pump bass like that Jack. On or off the track.
I'm heavy because, you know, the heaviness of the bass, right? Ball till you fall, right? And then heavy like nuts, right? Yeah. So ball till you fall. Cause you would duck to my Fetty Gov. Sorry, my love, what I'm seeing through these eyes. Ben's convoys with the wagon on the side. Only big boys keep deuces on the ride. Gucci Chuck Taylor with the dragon on the side. Man, I make a buck wise scram. I'm trying to show y'all who the fuck I am.
That shit feels like, for real, like an introduction track, man.
You feel this a part of it.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's like a, yeah. It's like we could chant that together.
It's perfect because they're just perfectly blending both the sound, because you're getting that hard do, so you get,
but they're not spitting
their lyrics,
hard.
Their lyrics are blending perfectly, like I'm your subwoofer, but he's also talking about pushing weight. Mm-hmm. So it's like a perfect blend between I'm talking about this heavy bass you're hearing, but I'm talking about I'm pushing bass. Like, yeah.
And trust me, that double shit
that flies for the single time, because you could play it for radio play.
Right.
You get a lot of Eminem's joints. Let's use him for example. Right. He has a unique ability where his clean version sounds almost as good as his dirty version because he's that lyrically adept. Mm-hmm. In this instance here, there's not a lot of wiggle room for you to do that, but you can always have the double meaning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what do you think Fetty Gov's is? It's the federal government.
Yes.
No. So you duck to the federal government. You duck to the Fetty Govs. But for real, the first time ever hearing it, though, and like no lyrics in front of you, I know what the fuck they were talking about.
It sounds like Virginian source slang code right talk, there. Yeah, never heard that.
A different dialect for sure.
But right ball there. Till you fall, because you duck to the Fetty Govs, right? So you're not really handling business. Sorry, my love, what I'm seeing through these eyes. Ben's convoy. He's talking about money. So sorry, my love, right? The play is I don't fuck with women. So instead of him saying I don't fuck with these hoes, he did something different. He says sorry, my love, in reference to a woman, and he did nothing but materialistic lines.
What I'm seeing through these eyes.
He's not looking at her. He's looking at the Benz. He's only looking at the Gucci Chucks. Right? I make a buck while I scram. I'm trying to show y'all who the fuck I am. The jewels is flirting. Be damned if I'm hurting. Legend in two games like I'm Pee Wee Kirkland. I remember a whole bunch of people went looking for Pee Wee Kirkland. Platinum on the block with consistent hits while Pharrell keep talking that music shit.
Pee Wee Kirkland was so...
Grinding.
Pee Wee Kirkland was so good at dealing drugs, he quit professional basketball.
Okay. That's so he's a legend in two games.
Right.
Legend in two games.
That's a crazy. He was just like, yeah, all right. I think it's he knew where his financial means were going to be a lot more effective if he spent more time into one.
If he moved another
legend
rock.
In two games, like I'm Pee Wee Kirkland.
Like, he had to move a different rock. You know
patty
what I'm
saying? Patty cake, patty cake. I'm the baker's man. I bake them cakes as fast as I can. And you can tell by how my breath stack up.
This and disguise it as a rap.
My feds back up.
Watch it like my whip, like my chips topless.
Win a buck six with me in the cockpit.
Grinding, cousin, I got whores for a dozen, even 11.5 if I see it. How is this shit working? How did this song fucking work, bro? I don't think people listen to lyrics, man.
And my weight?
Right, and my weight, that's just as heavy as my name.
So much dough, I can't swear I won't change. Excuse me, my wealth got me full of myself.
Cocky something that I just can't help. Especially when them 20s are spinning like windmills and the ice 32 below minus the wind chill.
Because it's freezing. Because
it's freezing.
His cadence, though.
Peace to the spinners on the rims. Yeah.
His cadence, though, on this beat is just, it falls so nice between the beat, like, and they.
It's just, the pockets, man.
The pockets.
It's all pockets. They're not over-rapping. They're not
under-rapping. And the music video looks like it could be filmed anywhere. Like, it just feels like everybody's home.
Everybody's backyard, it feels like, where we live off.
Filthy, the word that best defines me. I'm just grinding, man. Y'all never mind me.
And then the last one. My grind's about family, never been about fame. Them days I wasn't able, there was always Kane. This is the best line in the song. That was like the first time I finally got that they were doing this wordplay shit.
Right, Kane and Abel for those.
Yeah, that was fucking great, man. 4.5 will get you in the game. Anything less is just a goddamn shame. Guess the weight, my watch got blue chips in the face. Glock with two tips, whoever gets in the way. Two tips! Not to mention the hideaway that rests by the lake. Consider my raw demeanor, the icing on the cake. I'm grinding. I move cane like a cripple. Balance weight through the hood. Kids call me Mr. Sniffles.
Oh, man.
But I move Kane like a cripple is funny too. It's just so simple. Shit. You know, how many bars about cocaine can Pusha T them talk about in this entire career they've had up to now? Other hand on my nickel plated whistle, one eye closed, I'll hit you. Is as if I was Slick Rick, my aim is still an issue. Lose your soul in whichever palm I'm holding. One will leave you frozen, the other nodding and dozing. I'm grinding, Jack. I hate this ending though. I hate this ending.
Which hand? Which hand do you want?
It doesn't even fucking rhyme.
You want the row? You want the raw? Or do you want the blah blah?
It's like, okay, palm I'm holding, I'll leave you frozen, the other nodding and dozing. I'm grinding, Jack. Like that that ending made me, every time I hear it, I'm grinding, Jack.
It's like he's leaving. He's like, dude, like rapped is secondary right now.
Right,
right, right.
I'm grinding, Jack.
Grinding.
But such a legend of a song, man. You got Minimalism, Frill, man. You got Clips, Prime. This is just all three of them going balls in.
Did you know?
This is a legend. This is a legend.
Did you know Grinding was going to go to Jay-Z?
Oh, the beat? I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that.
He's going to give Grinding to Jay-Z.
So what's the story there? What happened there?
Why? Well, he hit up Clips like, yo, man, look, I got this joint, but I'm about to give it to Jay. You want it? Come to the studio right now. Because if he calls you and says, I'm about to get this to one of the greatest rappers in the world, and I'm calling you first, I'm in the studio immediately. Fuck right. That shit. So yeah, Grinding was supposed to be passed to Jay. It's really awesome. Now, the next one we got is Gangsta Lean. And honestly, let's just talk about it.
Give me some to roll, some gangsta fire.
Star Trek, Star Trek.
Let's smoke and ride.
Oh, girl, you taste it.
Sweet like morning dew.
I would go crazy, girl, if I didn't have none of you. Said you're from Jamaica, straight out of my Mercedes trunk. You make me want to roll you up. And then you make my body slump.
Make a nigga had a gangsta lean.
This song shouldn't exist.
Talk about the gangsta lean.
You make a nigga had a gangsta lean.
Yeah, this song is perfect.
This has Pharrell all over it.
Pharrell, that's what it sounds like. It's like Pharrell said, well, y'all gonna trust me on this one?
Yeah.
You're gonna make a love song to weed, and it's gonna be weird.
And Chad Hugo's trying to fuck with the levels to like make it sound sensible. All of a sudden, Pharrell's like, leave it. Just leave it.
Yes.
Leave it.
Not another sound. Yeah, this one, the reason we picked it is just, it's kind of contagious. Even when I was young, I would play this one all the time. The beat is just amazing to me. The simplicity in the beat. It's just a funny song to me. It took me, I think, a good few months to figure out it was about weed. When I listened to it, the guy that gave me the CD is my homie Daniel. We were talking about the song. I was like, man, that love song is weird though. He's like, Gangsta Lean? Yeah. It's about this chick that makes him like slump. He's like, no, that's about weed, man. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He's talking about weed. And then he started to, you know, break the lyrics down. And I was like, oh shit. And then the song made more sense. Like what? He was like, she's from Jamaica. So he pulled her out his trunk. What are you talking about? I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. I guess it is about weed. So, you know, initially the song was just really fun to listen to. And then actually when I got into it, everything they're talking about is just real. They're just talking about their love for weed. So let me see. I only love her on occasions. Keep my heart racing. Love to take her on vacations.
Where the time zone changes and the money exchanges.
And speed is in the kilometers on the dials of the ranges.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's rhyming it so smooth.
That's a lot of attention to detail. Yes. And that's like, you know, if you know, you know, like. Mm-hmm. That's the best part about that. It's
he's in another spot, right? He's on vacation, man. Right?
Far away.
And after, if you don't get on the none of the bars, he still helps you at the end of it. Far away. All right.
With my Jamaican.
It's sexy every day.
It's like far a holiday.
Got the Chiba, got me in the slum sleeper. But when I try to leave her, I just find out that it's cheaper to keep her. Plus, she keeps my thoughts deeper, really zoning. Like my Cali homie 6'4 rolling. So of course we got the reference to smoking weed in LA. Even references to some of our legends.
Yeah.
Or them Detroit lacks trimmed and golden. So we got Cali, Detroit, or my Texas family, 150 wires strolling. Ooh. Damn, I was caught up in the Matrix. Because he was naming all the places, right? So I think
like green. I'm just like, he's saying green.
Okay. I was caught up in the Matrix, but not Keanu Reeves as she rolls in bamboo leaves.
Oh, yeah. Maybe attributing the bamboo leaves to the green that way.
I think of ways to ship off these piano keys since the trapping is Gangsta Lee. I love you. Right. Talking about the Gangsta Lee.
I would picture like a Snoop Dogg on this kind of track.
You know, it's like, who would he have gave this song to?
Yeah.
So when I just something about how he put this track together, it sounds like a Neptune song that that they just said, we agree to it.
Right.
We fucked with it. It sounds like a rock song. Like he's singing like James Brown in a, like a rock song format in the chorus, but the beat and everything is like,
yeah, that was something unique about Pharrell too. He brought like the rock element as well. Like
yeah.
The Neptunes.
Yeah.
They brought
NERD was like too, that.
Yeah.
But there's almost cool. This kind
I
of
like that sound.
There's like, yeah. This like, a prancy type of sound in the background. Like there's this piano in the back that sounds really kind of joyous and cheesy, right? But he mixed it everything perfect, man. Everything, all every sound and element on the beat is perfect, man. So Malice is like, look, you put me where I need to be. Twist you anytime I feel the need. Love your touch and how you set my mind to ease. In Virginia where you kept me motionless. So I don't know why he said like, because motionless, he could just be, like he said, slump, he's high as fuck and he doesn't go anywhere. But in Virginia where you kept me motionless, like you kept me in the right spot maybe.
Yeah.
From that point on, I knew that I could never get over this. Now they want to see us broke up because I'm lovesick. Got me all choked up because he's smoking, coughing, and he's pounding his chest. Look, you keep my head in the clouds, mommy. So he did lovesick, heart, and then he did head. So look, you keep my head in the clouds, mommy, till I can't breathe. And next to that heat seeker, you my main squeeze. Wait, but look. The heat seeker is supposed to be his gun, right? But once again, Malice is the light guy. So next to that heat seeker, you my main squeeze. I thought he was talking about the devil, right? So he was just saying like, you know, these concepts. So now they want to see us broke up because I'm lovesick. Got me all choked up. Love, you keep my heads in the clouds, mommy, till I can't breathe. And next to that heat seeker, you my main squeeze, right? So he gives you the bad and the good and the same thing. Who else I lick, twist, and hit, and even spend my money on? Now, either I'm a fool or really you got me gone. You got me open these days, I must admit. Body numbed up and in the slump like I've been hit. Like he's dead. But luckily, it's just the green got me leaving smoke screens and blowing smoke rings as I flee from the scene. That flow's crazy. Gangsta leaning in an 850 BM. And then I'm like, Casey and JoJo, love, you got me fiending. But then Casey and JoJo were fiends. They actually have a drug problem for real. So yeah, that shit was fire. That shit is funny. That shit is funny.
I didn't know they had a drug problem.
Yeah. Casey and JoJo like notoriously got into drugs and they fell apart very bad. But her sex is so sticky. I'm talking real icky. Three. Have me gone and twist me, make my other women miss me. Just by the way she kissed me. Hold it with the index and thumb tippies. My flow is tricky. So when I was younger, I was like, how is he holding a woman like this? So I thought anything, man.
Right.
I didn't know it was about the weed. Hard to hold back since so sweet. Got a cognac and honey wrap, but this ain't no drink. Ooh. From Taiwanese to Amsterdam, greeny green to hydrophonic that make her weak stomach vomit. Listen, at times you hinder my vision. I make fun of Malice because he sounds lighter. Blinded by your love and you got the room spinning. I'm not jealousy, the reason why I keep you hidden. Well, I hit you and pass you to my man like I do my women. I know just what I'm investing in. I done traded currency with the Mexicans in Texas just so we can get affectionate. Your complexion, lime green with red specks in it. I love you. Yeah, that shit is nice. This song is dope. This song is really dope. You don't have to be a wee head to love it either. It's just a good song.
This is something I appreciate, and you dabble in the indica here and there. Yeah. I don't do it as intensely as I used to, but when you listen to this song, you're just like, damn, man! Like they make it kind of want to go back.
Yeah, it's like danceable weed song.
Yeah,
they're masters though at like breaking down like the art of. Like weed, like being a weed head or even like being a coke dealer, like they've said the same thing probably 1,000 different ways. They found just new ways to say it or new bars or whatever. Like they just found creative ways to like really communicate, you know, or break it down. And it doesn't get old.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's like, because they're so creative, it keeps me interested to still hear these bars that they're spinning.
And they keep it within the realm of that. Mm-hmm. They also, in different albums, like in Mr. Me Too, it's just about dudes just saying, oh, like now we're all shining. Now you got this, you got what I had,
right.
This and that. Or you also have Keys Open Doors.
That was a dope one.
Right. And it's like, okay, the byproduct of you having all this drug money is you got all this opportunity.
Right.
it's like you are absolutely correct in the way of like, yeah, they found 1,000 ways to spin it, but these guys have the rhythmic style to be versatile in the effect of, hey, look, this is redundant to a point of like, yeah, we are talking about this topic, but we found very interesting ways to make it different.
Right.
And that's what kept the clip so relevant, because I like the fact that I got into them with Hell Hath No Fury. I bought that album and then went back to Lord Willing and gave it an honest take. And I'm like, oh man, what was I missing?
Yeah.
Because exactly. You end up hearing the single separately. You end up hearing like Ma, I Don't Love Her, Grinding separately, all this separately. But when you hear it all together on the album, you're like, oh man, that's where it all comes with and the valiant effort kind of thing that I've been talking about.
You know, who mentioned Pushing Weight too? Jay-Z has, he's mentioned, you know, in a few bars, but to do like tracks, like no one's done it like that. Like the way Clips has done it.
The joke is Pusha T is the Coke rapper.
Right.
Like he's like very few Coke rappers that we identify them as their style being Coke rap.
Yeah.
So Pusha T is a Coke rapper. Freddie Gibbs is a Coke rapper.
And the thing that's so cool is that they're like Pusha T is very dynamic, because I've seen him even rap, not rap about Coke too. Like, mm-hmm. So it's not like he can't, he can easily do that, yeah. But he just, because he's so familiar with it, mm-hmm. You know, it's you can see it a lot, but
yeah. With Malice's Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
You'd see his range is right. Beyond.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
right.
You could try me any which way. Right. I could do it not like a drug dealer too.
Exactly.
And I think one thing we also have to put on the table is their cadences and the rhythms in which they spit their words.
It's there.
There's nobody else that you can identify them as.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to fucking do, man. To not sound like your influence at all. It doesn't sound like they were listening to people we know.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like they listen to all people from their area and underground cats. And then they develop their own voice.
They kind of see, they sound
with this kind of bond. Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And they sound very chill. Like it's chill.
It's not yelling rap.
Right. But they're talking about some deep stuff, but it's, you know, they're chill about it. And onto some bouncy tracks that Pharrell delivers. Like it's just a whole different vibe that you get out of this.
Yeah.
Track.
It's like Onyx, Guru, and then the Clips, how chill they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Try to find Onyx on a chill track.
Exactly. Hell no. Fucking relaxed. But yeah, their delivery really mattered to me at that time. Nothing sounds like them, and there hasn't been anybody to really duplicate how they sound. Yeah. But Pusha now, I think he's really interesting. Somebody gave me a really cool idea about him. He's like, you know, he's the Coke rapper, but the metaphor for Coke is now something totally different. So like the metaphor for Coke can be like pushing, he said like pushing religiously, right? Meaning like every album. Yeah. So the album, he's like, when he's pushing white, he's talking about pushing like God stuff. Right. And I was like, okay, let me listen to it like that. And it just there's just more metaphorical layers. Right. Mm-hmm. So the higher he got in his career, Pusha T specifically, the more his lyrics layer into like, I would say spirituality, but it sounds weird to express it that way.
Yeah.
So he's like, when I move white, I got old girls seeing Christ, right. There are connections, not only to cocaine, mm-hmm. but there's connections to pure things. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the fans, he just was like, yo, you got to get down with Pusha. I'm like, I don't like him. Yeah. And he was explaining, and I don't say I don't like Pusha. I'm just saying I would rather have Clips than Pusha by itself. Yeah. But we got to see Pusha live. He was amazing live.
Yeah. I saw him live too.
He was fucking, he was incredible.
I saw him in LA at the, Nokia Center, I believe.
Or where were we at? Salt Lake?
We ended up finding out the Diggable Planets was going to do a concert and they never tour. And I was like, Dre, we got to go. So that day we drove all the way to Salt Lake City.
10 hours? How many hours?
Yeah, nine. Well, then we got there, napped, and then the concert starts at 5. So we check in, take a nap, go to the concert, enjoy ourselves and paint the city. We definitely painted the city that night. But it's such a good concert.
Pusha was fired though. He closed spinning. It.
He was spinning.
He had a lot of vibe too, man. Yeah. He ran the whole night. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and I seen him, like, he did it all by himself, too. He didn't even have a hype man. He was just out there.
Nothing. On the stage solo, man. Yeah. It was a good show.
And he carried it. So props to him. But, yeah, I liked Malice's style a little bit more than Pusha's, actually. I think it was weird how it happened, because when I listened to them, I first liked Pusha T more.
Yeah.
And now as I got older, I liked
Malice's more. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, just because the way he delivered it. he just delivered it with just a little something different that I, you know, and now I like it.
Yeah. And I like to look for depth with Malice more than Pusha for some reason. Yeah. I'm like, what did he really say just now? You know, that book line got me. I was like, you know, I tried to do it by the book. I was like, after that, everything made sense, you know? So I just like how they looked even as the marketing went, you know, long hair, short hair, twin brothers, cool dude, chill dude, just worked. It just fucking worked.
Yeah.
And even having in their beginning, like adverts had them like with snowmen, had like winter wonderlands around them and stuff. And I'm like, damn, like these dudes are like cold.
And then with Pharrell, man, they just were the coolest, you know, the Neptunes at the time, you know, I was totally idolizing those guys. You know, I got a lot of Tim in my production, but Pharrell and them also just, they always caught my attention. So production does matter. And this is an example of when you get producers that do not do shit that anybody else is doing, man. It's none of that boom bap shit. It don't even roll in the boom bap direction. And that's what makes it so much of a unique experience. So yeah, man, this is one of a kind project, man.
And it's cool because like, I don't know if they'll ever come together again, like the combination of Clips and Neptunes, like
Ye would have to produce it.
Right. So it's like, it's so cool that we at least got a timeline where this happened, you know, that we got this. But this is for sure, man, this has to be a classic as well. Listening through this, Lord willing, man, there wasn't a track where I wasn't like, this hits, man.
Dude,
every track was like,
all three of their albums are that way. I worked backwards.
Yeah.
Cause then I ended up waiting for Till the Casket Drops. And that was, bro, that one's like the best. It's like, you never thought the Clips was going to be like a trilogy. You never thought that what was going to happen after that album. But when you look at it like a trilogy, it's like, oh man, this is a great send off.
And there's a reason why Pharrell called them. There's a reason why he called them. Cause I feel like early on, even they were probably like a for sure type of bet. These two dudes, they probably had a lot of fire, probably riding a lot. And you know, that's the reason why they probably got that shot in the first place with that label. But you know, after they failed and they dropped him, whatever, I feel like Pharrell saw something in them. And that's why they got that call. You know?
Sometimes you just got to be around somebody, man. That's what it is.
That's your network, baby.
Yeah, you just got to be around him.
Imagine if you push him while you're smart. Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you push him, man, like, you know, I always thought about it like this. If you're a drug dealer in any capacity, you have knowledge. You are smart in some capacity. Yeah. I mean, you're taking a risk and you know the risks and you're smart enough to outsmart the risks.
That's a good point.
Jumping into the rap game is just.
And at least know the formula that if you can actually accrue enough capital. Usually you'd want investors for that, but if you can accrue a lot of capital through some means and then have that decide for yourself, hey, look, let's go right into all music. Because I know I got skills.
Right. I already got the bread, so I can just make the best music.
Look at them paying dividends on on that investment, recouping,
and, you know,
20-fold.
It sucks, but it goes back to Aesop Rock's whole album, you know, talking about the systems, like the way it's corrupted or made to be against us. Where it forces sometimes people's hands to go that route, to even try to come out the other side, just because the system's already working against us, like in a certain way. So it's like, if you do a 9-to-5, is that really going to get you out? Probably not. Because the more you have to put more time to get more money. Mm. So your time's now taken up. Yeah. So it's like, people think of creative ways to do this. Some people take that route. Yeah. Just like the Master Ace album, we saw Fats, you know, who's
being
doing
the kind of background, another means, the producer,
you know?
Right? Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we get that visual or that story, and Pusha and Malice, like they just, you know, they just tell it. Their storytelling is just crazy, crazy dope, and they just bring it to life.
Yeah.
No.
And just having twin brothers, I think that's interesting.
That's interesting too.
Just twin brothers. Yeah. Twin brothers. That's just something.
Is
really
there any
unique.
Other brothers like that? Like, or like even sisters?
Man, you got tons of brothers rapping.
Yeah, man. Many. No. And
no.
None that were this marketable. You know, we don't have that many marketable twins.
It's just duos like that, nice and smooth.
Like
new ones.
But
though,
it's
new.
Like literal brothers.
Just Jizzle.
Crisscross.
But new, I'm talking new artists. Like, I don't think we got those family combos like that. You're not going to see like a Jackson 5 group of rappers.
Right. There's none out there, huh? I'm trying to think of somebody. I can't think of one right now.
BTS.
No, okay, let us know in the comments if you guys...
They're all brothers.
Let us know in the comments if you guys know of any rappers or anybody who's like family related as well, because that'd be pretty interesting. I'd like to know that.
Yeah, Cube and Del... Oh, well, they never even teamed up.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot Ice Cube and Del the Funky Homo Sapien cousins.
Oh, they're related. I didn't know that.
But you do get Del... Ice Cube actually says Dale, the Funky Homo Sapien, for hieroglyphics on one of the albums.
Oh shoot! Yeah. Okay, I didn't know.
One time in history.
Yeah, for that. But it loops too. It's like, so you know, he can only get his cousin for that one.
Didn't Eminem have a brother that he rapped with before?
His brother raps. He didn't rap with him though.
Skittles, nah,
rapping with Nate.
Skittles. Mounds. He had a whack candy name. Mounds.
Never made it.
Mr. Good Bars.
What you call it?
Sick rapping name, Mr. Good Bars.
No, what you call it?
What is his name?
Well, only one was MF Doom. He had his brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
MF Doom, yeah, you're right. Brother.
But it's kind of rare, actually.
Yeah, it is really rare.
Well, you're looking at the success level too. I mean, what? So we're gonna have to say Criss Cross takes the helm on some of that.
Okay.
But new stuff like Andre like swung back into
right,
the
back to new.
You would think they would go for more gimmicks now.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing any.
What about wearing the pants forward instead of back?
Oh, put the pants on top of the head.
Right.
Like anything's possible.
We wear shirts as pants. Criss Cross is all.
I can't wait.
Criss Cross comes back again.
I can't wait till we get into that one. So takeaways from this album, Mark. Where you leaning?
I like the fact that this album has singles in every which direction that you can take the drug universe. Mm-hmm. But even trying to label it like that, it's still having it labeled as like songs about drugs. Like that's the after effect after you listen to the lyricism.
Right.
That's the beauty about Clips is like, they do rap about moving weight, but no, it's like, the lyricism
Listen to the lyricism, good lord,
it's so good. Like it doesn't qualify as gangsta rap, and that's how good they are.
I like
just
that.
Listen to that.
That is interesting.
Like,
yeah,
just you would typically take heed
I don't
to
even
that.
Think I hear. I remember lines of them talking about having to kill people or like.
Yeah.
And what I mean in terms of like how you listen to another New Yorker, if I catch you on the block, I'm blowing your head off, right? They didn't even talk like that. It's like, you know, if you a fuck boy, get off my block. But it's never really.
It's like non-denominational rap.
Yeah, it's non-denominational coke rap.
And it was their own lane.
Yes, exactly.
We just moving coke, man.
And by
Virginia Beach.
I love how
man.
You said that, though, because it's more, you got the feeling that it's more about the lyricism. I agree with you. I think the lyricism is definitely here. Mm. And that's my takeaway is I get the lyricism more so than I get, you know, about all the drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
That's more of like the afterthought of what they're talking about. Because a lot of times they're smart with it. They're like creating double meanings and shit. Like it doesn't even mean that or... You know, so I love that, but I also love the conflict that they also have in their talk and when they're rapping this. They know that it's not the best situation.
Yeah.
They know that it's shameful because, you know, a lot of people die from overdose and all that stuff. So they know that. So I love the conflict. So they're smart enough to be conscious about it. So it's not like they're just out here being like just trying to push and kill everybody, but they know what they're doing is also not right, I guess.
It's always been like they overcame the issue of it, of like, hey, look, we are successful, but at the consequence of what we did.
Right.
But it's like you kind of feel that it's always gnawing at them.
Yeah, but still, they're rich and they're famous now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
But I think the better part about
but now you
the
have,
storytelling is the implications, like a lot of the implication, right? It's just a lot of implying, they're just talking about what they do on a regular basis. Right. And they don't declare rules like certain hip hop. Oh, my block. If I catch you wearing red, your head gone. Right. But on this, it's just them saying I made money today selling coke. I have more money than usual
because
I sell coke. I have these nice diamonds and outfits because I sell coke.
And they never mention that they're in the forefront of like. They're always low key about it.
They don't sound like they're trying to intimidate the block. You know, they're not trying to be the Debo. They're just rapping about what they know. And that's what makes it interesting. So it's like, our path is we really soul work, and I have very creative ways to say how I soul work. Yeah. And I'm trying to go to different boroughs, and I'm like, all right, let's go to New York. How would I say I soul work? It would be loud and aggressive, and I would be the biggest person in the city, right? Whereas the clips are like, we are very big, but we're not screaming about our status.
Exactly.
We just got bread, and y'all know we got bread because you buying work from me. Yep. So it's very grounded for what it is. And everything grounded, after that.
Grounded.
When you see a brother like me sitting grounded. So I feel like it works as a debut. Excellent debut, man. So my takeaway is a debut like this is going to stay in the history books. Hell Have No Fury. It's cool. It just didn't blow my world away like this one.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that it has that regional sound, you know, that unique Virginia Beach full sound.
It doesn't sound forced into another sound.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I love that about it. I love the combination of these, this tandem, and you feel the chemistry all over this. It's like Fife and Q-Tip almost. Like the chemistry is so strong.
Imagine they were siblings. That'd be crazy.
Brothers the whole time and they lied.
So I love this, man. I love this album. I'm glad that we covered this. This is definitely a classic that we have to check out. That you have to check out if you haven't checked this one out. Any final thoughts on this?
Already shared them, man. This is an excellent album, man. Check this one out. This is fun. This is a fun album to listen to.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go ahead and close this one off. Mark, if you can close this off, and then we'll go on to the
MCs. If you drop a mic, drop a like.
Peace in the Middle East.
Phrase. At the end of the video.
Phrase.
I still let it go a little longer. All right, peace, everybody.
Peace, y'all. Like the end of an Infinite Waters video.